Hello Europe, hello world! Today we invite you to join our club as we have a ball with the Olympic champion in rhythmic. We're going to share memories with the gymnast who is anything but a copycat. And we'll journey through the world of aerobic with our guide Dora the Explorer. All of this and more on this month's episode of the European Gymnastics Podcast. Hello Blythe Lawrence.
Hello Ollie Hogben.
And hello listener. Welcome to the European Gymnastics Podcast. This is episode 2. And thank you for all of the lovely feedback you gave us about episode 1. We're so thrilled to have your company. It is a busy time. Blythe, it was winter 5 minutes ago. What's happened?
Spring is blooming and so are World Cups.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Loads of gymnastics. Fortunately, we've got you here. What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a brief review of some of the top headlines concerning European gymnasts at recent competitions.
But it's not that simple because I'm going to make it trickier for you by playing a bit of music. What am I going to play?
You are going to play the music that a European gymnast used to win a European title at some point in the past.
Did you like the fact there that I said, I'm going to do a thing, and then I had to ask you, what's the thing I'm going to do? Which I think basically represents our entire commentary career, doesn't it? Which is that I give the impression of knowing what I'm doing, and then I immediately turn to you with panic in my eyes and say, Blythe, help me. So anyway, the performance of a European gymnast winning a European title. Shout it out to everyone around you. We'll tell you at the end of the episode who it was. Blythe, Eurowatch, go.
Congratulations to European Gymnastics Gymnast of the Year winners, elected by fans around the globe. Hamlet Manukian of Armenia is the male Gymnast of the Year. Romania's Anna Barbosu is the female Gymnast of the Year. Mikey Barnes of Great Britain has won Coach of the Year. Switzerland's Welsh Master Team is the Team of the Year. And the award for Outstanding Performance of the Year goes to Portugal's Aerobic Senior Group. Congratulations to all of them. In World Cups, the man at the moment is Ukraine's Nazar Cheperny, who is 2 for 2 on vault at World Cup events. But the biggest surprise of the season so far might be David Ivanov of Bulgaria, who recorded a shock win on pommel horse at the Baku World Cup. Italy's Elisa Iorio made a big statement upon her return from a long injury by taking the uneven bars title in Cottbus. In trampoline World Cup action, Turkey won 2 medals in Baku, a huge result for them. Sister-brother duo Selyan Masudova and Magsud Masudov of Azerbaijan, meanwhile, earned 2 medals for the host nation, including gold in mixed synchro competition. And Portugal showed its promise at the Acrobatic Gymnastics World Cup in Maia with medals in women's pair and women's group.
Wow, that's a lot of gymnastics.
All in about 60 seconds.
The rhythmic gymnastics season is getting underway soon, and it's all building towards the World Championships happening in Frankfurt in August. One of the focal points of the championships is going to be Germany's own Daria Varfolomeyev. Blythe sat down with her at the start of a big year for the reigning Olympic champion.
Incredible start to this ribbon final, courtesy of the champion of the world with this apparatus and the Olympic all-around champion, Daria Varfolomeyev.
Do you ever wake up in the morning and think, I am Daria, the Olympic champion? Or do you avoid thinking about it?
So I did struggle to comprehend sometimes how big that result was, because when I was little, it was simply impossible for me to do what the others did and achieve what they achieved. It's becoming easier to understand over time, though, and then it's even more enjoyable for me to think about it and analyze it. Of course, there are days where I don't have as much energy or motivation to train, but I honestly think that's the case for everyone and it's normal. But then I think about everything I've already achieved and what I still want to achieve, and that sometimes motivates me a lot as well.
And then bringt es mir auch manchmal die Motivation.
When a crowd is noisy, how does it affect you? Do you like a loud crowd?
For me, the audience is a big motivation and they're also important to me. When the audience gets involved, when it's loud, when there's such a cool atmosphere in the hall. And then on one hand, of course, I get a little nervous. But on the other hand, it's totally wonderful for me because I feel the support I feel the cool atmosphere, I feel myself, and then I can really enjoy it. I experienced that especially in Spain, in Valencia. I still remember it very well. While I was doing a spin, they were like, ole, as long as the spin lasted. And when I heard that, my spin went just on and on and on.
Ole, und dann so lange wie das Drehen gegangen ist. Deswegen ist es schon so, dass mir das schon viel ausmacht, weil vor allem als ich das gehört habe, war meine Drehung so noch länger und noch länger. Genau.
When you present your routines on the carpet, how automatic is it for you? Are you really aware of the movements that you're doing, or is it almost like you go on autopilot and just go?
Also,
of course, when it flows and I don't have to think about anything, so to speak, sounds a bit weird maybe, but then it's really true that the exercise usually goes well and that I just automatically do what I do in training. But of course, sometimes the throw is a little bit behind you or in front or to the side or too low, too high. And then you have to switch on your head really quickly. And I start thinking, how do I make sure that this error doesn't become too expensive? Or how do I do best now so that I can quickly move on to the next element afterwards? But it's then also important to switch off immediately afterwards, so that you actually can get back into the routine straight away.
Gleich nach denen sofort auszuschalten, damit man das gleich wieder in seine Routine kommen kann.
When you put on a leotard, do you feel like you become different? Or to put it another way, is Daria the person different, separate from Daria the gymnast?
Ich würde sagen, schon ein bisschen von einer Seite.
I would say I'm a little bit different because when I put on a suit and get my makeup done and then I'm in the moment, I tend to be very focused on myself, on what I'm doing. I'm not talking so much to everyone and I'm not smiling all the time. And then sometimes when I see my face from the side, like when someone filmed it and posted it on socials or somewhere, I think to myself, oh my God, how focused am I? So I really have a poker face. Some people might think that I'm a very serious person, but in normal life, I would say that's not really the case. I'm very cheerful, very open. I can smile or laugh in every training session and talk a lot. I think that makes a bit of a difference, but on the other hand, I still show myself on the floor and that's what makes me lock in.
To return to training for just a second, you've said in interviews that if something is difficult, you come back the next day and try again with a fresh mind. But how exactly do you achieve that? It sounds like it might be easier said than done.
Also es ist, manchmal fällt das schon schwierig ein.
Sometimes it's difficult, especially when I've had a tough week and not much has gone right. Then you lose a bit of motivation, but also of enthusiasm. And then I always think about what has already happened or what I still have planned and try to motivate myself. Sometimes I imagine myself on the floor about to perform. And when I'm unsure, I feel very guilty and don't know what I can or should show on the floor. Sometimes when it doesn't work out for a long time, I think, you're in a competition now, so what do you want to show here? And then I realize, oh, I need to work a little harder to be able to show something or to be able to show anything at all. That motivates me too, pushes me forward. But of course, there are days when it doesn't work and you think the competition is still a long way off or the competition is over and it didn't work out. So what should I do now? Sometimes when we see that it's really not working and there is no progress, we decide to switch to something else that scores either the same or maybe even a little less, so that we can master that first and then get back to the higher level or just keep training for longer.
Man trainiert einfach ganz viel und übt das weiter.
Of course, everybody is curious about the new routines that you'll be presenting this season. Are there any details that you would be willing to share with us about your programs for this year?
Jetzt ist es tatsächlich so, dass es
So we don't know exactly what we're going to do for the ball routine, because it's a bit more difficult at the moment whether we're going to use a German song or not. We're still undecided because we recently had a training session and we realized that the music probably doesn't quite fit. But I can say about the ribbon and the hoop that the routine and the music will be roughly the same, only perhaps a few things will change in the routine. For the clubs, we have something completely new in terms of music and routine, which I hope everyone will like and will perhaps show even a different side of me.
Und was mich auch vielleicht an anderer Seite ein bisschen zeigt.
Lovely. And just a question about rhythmic gymnastics in Germany. Rhythmic gymnastics now seems very popular in your country, thanks in large part to what you have done. Do you feel a new level of support compared to a few years ago?
Also, wie Sie gesagt haben, es ist natürlich...
As you said, rhythmic gymnastics has become much better known. It's no longer the case that when we arrive at the airport, people say, oh, hula hooping, can you do circles too? And I say, yeah, I can do several. Or they ask, what sport do you do? And I say, rhythmic gymnastics. And some people reply, can you do somersaults too? I say, unfortunately, we can't do that, but we can do completely different things. And now it's more like when we say we do rhythmic gymnastics, they sometimes are like, yes, someone won gold at the Olympics in 2024. And I say, exactly. It's a very beautiful sport, they all say, and they tell me how excited they are and that they saw it. They're always full of enthusiasm and tell me how much they enjoyed watching it. It also means a lot to me, and I think to Germany and to our sport in general. Many clubs have opened up and many girls are taking up our sport, and of course I'm very happy about that. Hopefully it will stay that way and who knows, perhaps develop even further.
Natürlich freut mich das sehr und hoffentlich wird das auch so bleiben und vielleicht sich noch weiterentwickeln.
Many Olympic champions in rhythmic gymnastics win the games and then they retire directly afterwards. And I am just curious, did you ever consider retirement and what ultimately kept you in the sport?
Also ich habe tatsächlich nicht nachgedacht.
I haven't actually thought about it when my career will end, because I simply don't know, and so I don't think about it much. I just do what I love, I do my job, I compete and train, and I enjoy that. I think I'll know when it's time to stop, when I'm no longer enjoying it, or when I realize that I might not be able to achieve the highest level of difficulty or other things anymore. Anything can happen, really. And I think that's when I'll say to myself, yes, okay, I think you achieved everything you wanted to. You still enjoy it, but not as much anymore. I don't know what the feeling will be like, but I think I'll notice it myself. As long as I enjoy it and as long as I love what I do, I'll do it for as long as I can. And after all, the most important thing, of course, is my health, whether it's possible at all.
Liebe, was ich mache, mache ich so lange wie es geht. Und das Wichtigste ist natürlich auch gesundheitlich, ob es noch überhaupt möglich ist. Genau.
And the last question, it's very simple. When people watch your routines 100 years from now, what do you want them to take from that? What do you want them to feel?
Also, ich hoffe in
So I hope that when I'm dancing and having fun, people will watch me and smile and maybe dance a little too and think how great this exercise is. Maybe they'll also understand that the sport looks very easy from the outside, but there is a lot of work and willpower behind it, that it's not actually at all easy to do. And I also hope that when I have a slow music where I'm telling a story or there is a story behind it, that they'll watch it and think, that really touches me, and think how great it was and remember it for a long time. What I've also experienced now after the Olympics, many people came up to me and said, your ribbon exercise gave me goosebumps. This music, this strength, you showed, it was just so great. And I hope that the people who watch this in 100 years will feel exactly that.
Diese Stärke, die du gezeigt hast, war einfach toll und ich hoffe, dass dann auch die Menschen, die in 100 Jahren das angucken, das fühlen.
Thanks to producer Emma for translating and to friend of the podcast, Anne Munzner, for voicing Daria in English. Blythe, we've been talking a lot about this season, but how about we jump back in time for a bit?
Let's go back to 2018, which was a pivotal year for gymnastics, especially at the European Championships. When we think back to that competition, there is one moment that really stands out.
Could you possibly be talking about a certain Dutch gymnast and a certain piece of feline-based frolicking?
Exactly so. I am referring to Celine van Herner of the Netherlands, who put on a show, literally, with her cat's routine in the apparatus final. Celine is going to take us through her European Championship that year.
A European Championships where she made the floor final and where the Dutch won their first ever team medal.
It was almost like a cat took over, like I really felt a cat. And then that stopped when the music stopped. And that was a bizarre experience I have never felt before. It felt like I was on stage and I really embodied this piece. You know, I never really had a good conversation about this, so I really like to tell you. I'm Celine van Herner, and I performed the cat's routine during the European Championships in 2018. After the Rio Olympics, I took a year off to get some rest and to think about my future. I think I stepped back into the gym again in September 2017, and probably at the end of that year, we started to create a new floor routine as well. I was at a point where I was still enjoying gymnastics, maybe even more than before. Because after the Rio Olympics, I made a deal with myself to just take things day by day, month by month, and not look too far ahead. So I felt more relaxed. My body was at a steady point, and I felt really confident in my gymnastics, and I still loved performing. I could trust my body, and I could trust my mental game and my mental headspace. So for me, that was a different part of doing gymnastics from my earlier career on. I love to have trained and competed at the time of the Orange Elegance. We worked very hard on our artistry and execution. With two highly recognized choreographers on our side, we spent hours on things like theater role plays, ballet, relevés on beam, skill executions, choreography. So I think it was not always the biggest gymnastic skills were the most smartest ones, so we took our advantage in that. I remember one time we did this theater role play, and then one of the choreographers would call out a word, and then you had to act like it. So like scrambled egg, and then you had to lay down on the ground. Like, how would you feel like if you would be a scrambled egg? The bronze team medal was a very special one. We had a week full of surprises leading up to that final, from sickness, injuries, fixing leotards ourselves. So we felt prepared for everything. We were in medal position going into the last apparatus and tried to stay calm and keep on focusing on our routines. Bars was our last apparatus and I was the first one going up. And I did bars without grips, which is pretty rare. And so preparing the bars with honey, water, and chalk in the right way was even more important. But because of television and being in medal position, I had to wait for quite a long time to start my bars routine. And I was really scared that all my preparation was dried up and that I wouldn't have any grip. That would have been a disaster. So I started my routine with a lot of nerves. But thankfully, it wasn't all dried up. I think I pulled it off because I was mentally super strong and it was one of my best bars routines ever. And after that, my teammates, they nailed it. So I'm really proud of that and really proud of them. We really showed what we were capable of.
Vera Tisha and I performed CATS for about 7 years in total, in 5 different countries and 3 languages. And I love doing it. And it was really a dream come true to be able to do the job.
So Damon Jones was the choreographer of my floor routine, and he also helped me with the makeup.
I had joked with Celine at some point that if she ever wanted to do a gala or a show, she could use this routine. And I had somewhere my cat's costume still. I had my wig somewhere. I had my tail, and I could do her makeup and actually dress her up as a cat to do this routine. And it was kind of a passing joke, but I kind of had that also in the back of my mind. Like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe for a final or something, we joked. So I decided that we would just meet up and do basically an artistic brainstorming session like we would do actually for the show. We just get together and do like some cat acting exercises. How does a cat move? How does a cat react to situations with loud noise? All these things that we would actually do in rehearsal for the show in the first steps of learning how to create the cat acting, movement, and playing. And I could see that she was very committed to it and really into it. And I was really impressed. And I really had the feeling I was working with a performer, not an athlete, which are two very, very different things.
I hadn't seen cats before we created that routine, but I had to, of course. So I went to a theater in Rotterdam and then watched the musical Cats. I did 3 floor routines in 4 days, and I believe all of them had the highest E scores of the whole Europeans, ending my best one in the floor final. I didn't have the highest difficulty, so I made sure I focused on all my landings and my execution. Initially, I wanted to give something back to all the people who came watching that final day in Glasgow. Something different, something they would leave the arena with and talk about for hours after. And also, for me, it was about the love of performing, showing a bit more of who I am and how you can be yourself, even when you're in a situation that is framed. It was about thinking outside of the box and bringing art back into artistic gymnastics. We had our team final on Saturday, and after that, we started thinking about the makeup for the floor final next day. So the evening before event finals, we looked up Cats musical makeup on the internet, and then we decided to try that makeup on me. And I also tested if my hair would stay in 2 knots, like cat's ears. It was a very funny evening, and we were joking about drawing whiskers and I don't know what else. But I think what you saw the next day was the end result of the night before. Oh, we had a picture, because we looked it up on the internet, and we kind of copycatted that on me. And that looked really good, so that was it. I had a lot of amazing reactions, even still to this day. Of course, not everyone was a fan, and that's totally okay as well. But I had a lot of compliments of looking like it was professionally done, even from the by then current Cats musical actors, so that was really cool. It went viral, and at some point, actors from that musical, I believe they were playing on Broadway, but they were like tweeting me and texting me that it was really well done and they loved it. If I go back and watch it, I can still really feel how I felt. I think all of my routines, that championship showed a higher level of artistry at the same time and contributed to elevating the sport. Those are my memories.
That was fascinating to listen to, from her perspective and from her choreographer's perspective.
It's a moment that had never occurred before, and one that has not occurred since.
Indeed, because there was a rule change made by World Gymnastics, the governing body, about theatrical performances not being allowed. European Gymnastics obviously follows the rules set down by the governing body. So it sits and stands alone on its 4 legs as a unique moment in gymnastics. And it was wonderful to hear from the one and only Celine Van Herne. It's really interesting, actually, because we've had Celine making her very passionate case for artistry. And now we can jump to a discipline of gymnastics where artistry is its own separate mark and where storytelling really does matter. So listener, how well do you know aerobic gymnastics? If you're new to it, we urge you to really become a fan because it is fantastic. I was lucky enough to have a chat with the one and only Dora Heggie, European Games champion and a medalist at the World Championships, the European Championships and the World Games. Dora will be your guide.
You don't need expensive apparatus like in other gymnastic disciplines. And in many cases, what you truly need is a space, music and committed athletes. And that's it. So in aerobic gymnastics, we have 7 categories. Individual men, individual women, mixed pair, trios, groups, aerodance and aerostep. When you go to the stage and you forget everything, like all the pain, what is happening, like you can start showing and connecting with the audience and with the judges, and I think people can feel. I'm Dora Heggie and I love aerobic gymnastics.
You are one of the best people in the world to talk about aerobic gymnastics, and you have got 5 things that you think we should all know about aerobic gymnastics. So, number one.
My number one is the name. Because when people hear aerobics, they often think about 90s fitness classes or home workouts videos like the one popularized by Jane Fonda. But honestly, I understand why, in a way, but the word itself sounds more like a group fitness class than high-level competitive sport. However, aerobic gymnastics today is actually a highly technical gymnastic discipline. And I think everyone who comes to watch aerobics in life can admit it. So it includes strength, element, dynamic jumps, explosive push-ups, and push-up and split landings. I think it's really special in aerobics. Holds, supports, flexibility, and very complex transition. And when we go back to the teams, we have a lot of collaborations, which gives the beauty, I think, for the groups and the trios. So all perform continuously for about 1 minute, 20 and 30 seconds.
Dora, number 2, what is your second thing you want everyone to know?
Okay, so nowadays, everybody's talking about gender equality. And I think it's one of the very few sports, not only in gymnastics, but sports where men and women can compete directly against each other, not only with each other, but against each other. And it's very interesting, actually, because also in the last World Championship that you could see that female trio was on the second place, way like before in front of other, for example, mixed or men trios, which shows that it actually works.
What's your third point that you want everyone to know?
My third point is that the sport is relatively young and rapidly evolving. So it's really young sport and the cut of points changes frequently. So that means the sport evolves very quickly and difficulty increases every cycle. New elements are coming. The choreography became more complex and the expectation for artistry, and now in this 4 years, especially execution, rise constantly.
Right. Point number 4.
Artistry and execution is just as important as difficulty. Because many people think it's all about strength and difficulty elements. But what I'm saying, especially in this 4 years cycle, that you can win the competition with a beautiful and high-level artistry and a clean routine with a good execution rather than difficulty.
So, point number five.
Yeah, so point number five is that the physical intensity is extreme, even if it doesn't look like. So from the outside point of view, you might see that athletes are smiling and enjoying on the stage and performing to the music and trying to create a piece of art. But what is happening physiologically is intense. There is no real break in the routine. So at around 1 minute, depends on the athlete, you start to feel the lactate acid spreading out through your body, and it is getting harder to move beautifully and keeping the intensity of the routine. So I think that's the hardest thing in aerobic gymnastics, to find that good balance between the elements and also the physical, the intensity of the performance. And so it continues and explosive movements at near maximum heart level.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for, but there is a lot of gymnastics coming up in the next month or so.
There is. There's the European Championships in trampoline, the first Europeans of the year. Those will be happening in April in Portimão in Portugal. We'll also be seeing the debut of the World Cup season in both aerobic and rhythmic gymnastics. Aerobic taking place in Portugal, rhythmic in Sofia, one of the spiritual homes of rhythmic gymnastics in Bulgaria. And also more artistic and trampoline World Cup events as well.
And that floor music that we played at the start during your Eurowatch, it was, of course,
Jessica Gadarova in 2021 at the European Championships in Switzerland, winning the title on floor exercise.
We commentated that, didn't we? And it was such a big performance from her, such a big moment for British gymnastics.
You could make the argument that individually, it was one of her real statement moments as a floor performer and one of the best in the world. Such a complete routine too, both in terms of tumbling and artistry.
And you can find it on the European Gymnastics YouTube channel. You can find us on European Gymnastics's various social media channels as well. You can get in touch with us about the podcast, moments you'd like us to revisit, anything like that. Just say hello to us and please do listen to the next episode of the European Gymnastics podcast.